1, 2, 3.
Hey, welcome to the smartest Amazon seller. It's your host, Scott Needham. I'm at the end of the day, which means you're going to get me raw. But guess what? It doesn't change what we're trying to do here. We're going to make you smarter tomorrow than you are today. And I only can do that if I add to the body of knowledge, you know, all the podcasts that I've done, and I've got a guest with me that I've already learned a few things with, and we're going to jump into a new territory. You know, the name of this podcast is Smartest Amazon Seller, but we're going to be the smartest Walmart seller for a second, and someone that has succeeded on multiple dimensions. We're going to cover the different parts, whether you're a Walmart seller, Walmart brand, in-store vendor. This is our guy. I have Michael, the CEO and founder of Sellcord, a Walmart agency. So this guy works with a lot of people that work on Walmart. Michael, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. That wasn't a half bad intro. We're going to do something interesting. So let's catch up. We are now at the end of 2023, 3.5 years past COVID, where Walmart probably, I'll make an argument that, like, you know, some of their e-commerce may have like actually kind of struggled, but COVID helped in a big way make sure that that initiative is big for Walmart. And now Walmart really looks like the early stages of Amazon. They are succeeding in growing their sellers. They're succeeding in marketing to the world. Sure, there's some differences, but we're going to go over that. So how do you feel about Walmart 2023?
I think COVID definitely helped them a lot, but I think Walmart has so many deep relationships with sellers, with brands, obviously has a lot of deep resources. And because they made it such a strong focus of theirs and they put so much emphasis on theirs, on that, then they've just been executing like extremely fast. I think we've seen, like, especially in some categories, we've seen like unparalleled growth. I think, like you said, it's like early Amazon days. And I think there's just because they have a roadmap to follow, they have the Amazon roadmap to follow in a way, you see they're executing very similar things just at really quick speeds. So yeah, it's been really exciting. So that's been cool.
Yeah, you sell in Walmart. Go into that. I'd love to hear your thought process when you decided, like, oh, I can help other people do this too.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so that's a great question. I've been selling online for a while. I started off selling on Amazon in high school. We did well on Amazon. And from there, we're like, you know, we built this brand. Why don't we expand it to other channels? So we expanded to a lot of other channels, all the e-retailers and online marketplaces. We saw a lot of success with Walmart. So I'm like, what about if Walmart's picking up traction? What about if we really put focus there and really understand the nuances of the platform, not just list our products there, but like really understand the nuances? We started doing that. We became the number one bestseller in our category. And from there, we were able to succeed a lot. We eventually got one of our brands into stores nationwide with Walmart through the success we had on Marketplace. So it was a really cool process. And I realized pretty early on was that, you know, for most of the partners in this space, you know, I never thought I was going to go into the agency space or the software space. Most of the partners in the space, they're Amazon focused. And they're like, Walmart's a great opportunity. Why not add it in to the mix of what we do? But, you know, since Walmart is such a big initiative, their marketplace is such a big initiative for them, there's so many nuances to it. And, you know, I've realized that a lot of these partners didn't have the complete understanding and enough focus there to really succeed on the platform. So yeah, that's kind of what prompted us to start realizing that there's so many, Amazon built so many great brands and so many big brands that allowed so many people to build these amazing brands. And Walmart's such an awesome channel, but there's so many nuances to it. A lot of these brands don't have the time to work on it properly. They don't have the time to learn all these things. Even if they do learn all of it, a lot of times it doesn't pay off enough for them. So that was kind of the theory of why we started the agency, and it's been pretty fun.
So you did a good job of selling on Walmart. What do you think was kind of led to your category success?
So when we started, almost everybody in the category was just copying, pasting their listings from Amazon. And we actually took time to understand Walmart style guides. Walmart has something called style guides for every category, and really understanding how they want listing optimized, and then adapting our listings to that, and then launching specifically Walmart optimized listings. But then furthermore than that, like really being really quick on initiating and executing on any Walmart program. So like as soon as advertising came out for marketplace sellers, like we were very quick on that. As soon as Walmart Fulfillment Services, which is like the equivalent of Amazon Prime, came out, we were the first beta sellers on that. So like very quickly leveraging all your programs, like we were able to get top rank and then maintain it because we were really quick on those things.
I have a feeling, I don't know exactly how it compares, but I have this feeling that like Walmart, because they have a lot of existing brands, like they've been a retailer for decades, that Amazon feels like it's a very wide catalog. I feel like Walmart is a little bit narrower. And if you're outside of the top, you're probably not getting a lot of visibility, but the top really could take off. Am I wrong, right?
Oh, very right. So I think what's really interesting is people don't realize the amount of sales done on Walmart.com. A lot of people have this kind of notion that like Walmart Marketplace is new, so like there's not so many sales. Like sales on Walmart.com is massive. Just most of that was, almost all of it was 1P.com sales. So meaning items that are in store, direct vendors that they work with, we're getting all those sales. Now marketplace sellers are tapping into those sales. So in those categories, those big categories, a ton of shoppers come to walmart.com to purchase. So a lot of things in home and kitchen, a lot of those categories, hard lines, so sporting goods, things like that. Walmart has like significant market share on .com. So those ones do really, really well. If you have a lot of more niche products, people don't explore a lot on Walmart. There, a lot of them aren't searching around for a lot of different types of products. Also, because their volume is so heavily based on a lot of these big search terms, then a lot of more subcategories that are much smaller don't have a lot of times enough volume.
Yeah. So it's more concentrated.
Yep.
Now, what types of brands like are having success through you guys? Like, you know, you see a brand, like what makes you excited? Like, oh, I know they're going to work. And when we're referring to brands, like we think of like sellers as like, you know, the solo entrepreneurs or like the small, like, you know, you and I probably came from that identity. When I think of a brand, they're thinking of Walmart as a channel, not the business model. How do you convey it to someone that's like, this is just another channel. Amazon's just a channel for us. If you're talking to someone like that, what are you thinking?
It's true. Like Walmart, it should be a channel, part of their larger strategy. I think that for the brands that it really works well for, there's across the board a few rules of what does really well in Walmart, but a few things are important to note is there's different reasons why brands will want to work with Walmart. So number one, brands want to be part of like a growing marketplace. So for some categories, even if it's not a lot of sales for them, because they know that it's going to grow in something big, they want to be on there early. So for a lot of categories that are weaker, for example, consumables, beauty, those are harder categories, especially for newer brands or national brands. So for those brands, like a lot of times the reason why they'll launch on marketplace is number one, because they want to be part of the growth of the marketplace. But number two is like brand protection also, that like it's a marketplace. So your products are going to be sold there anyway, if you're not. So at least by you being on there, you control your prices, you control your content. There's kind of that reason. Another reason is brands want to get into stores, right? So nowadays, it's very hard to get your products into stores unless you have success on marketplace first. They're most of the times will tell you, start selling it online and see how it goes. So for a lot of brands, like that's a really good way for them to leverage Walmart. But for to go back to your question, like what does really well on Walmart from just a sales perspective is a few main categories. Hard lines, which is like a broader term, how Walmart categorizes like sporting goods, patio, cook and dine. So like a lot of things within those categories do really well. And then very general products do amazing. So like furniture, so like beds, bar stools, chairs, things like that. Like customers, a ton of customers come to Walmart to shop for that stuff. If you're competitive enough on price and you have a good offer, they're not brand shoppers in that regard. So like when people are searching for those categories, they're not brand shoppers. When people are on Amazon, I feel like brands a lot of times have a lot of success in categories that are traditionally people shop more based on brand, even if they don't have a brand, as strong of a brand. So for example, on Amazon, like supplements from a random third-party seller could do really well if it has a lot of reviews. On Walmart, you're going to see less of that. The top-ranking items and items that bring the volume are the national brands, but in like beds, in mattresses, like a lot of the brands that we're seeing that we've launched have done crazy well are like brand new brands that are like a year old and are doing insanely ridiculous numbers on Marketplace because they're able to go from zero to hero really quick on the Marketplace. Because it's not like Amazon where it's like, you're able to, as long as you're implementing the right tactics, you're able to outrank everybody. There's a lot less fierce competition in that regard. So for those really big categories that are not as brand dependent shoppers, like we see the most success.
So, I mean, I actually love that you have your product successfully make it to in-store. That almost like seems like the dream. It seems like what a Walmart rep would like tell you, like, hey, you succeed here, we'll get you in store. And I bet you a lot of people have fallen short of that dream, but like, what is that like transition? Is that realistic? Is it just very dependent upon like the category and Walmart's like existing needs?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what it really comes down to is that it's kind of this, there's this trajectory of being more, Walmart's like a relationship-based company. So there's like a roadmap to kind of get there and to strengthen your relationship with Walmart. So like Marketplace is like the lowest barrier to entry. Most people could get in, right? Once you do well on Marketplace, you get an account manager called a SAM. That SAM is connected to like the director of the categories. Those people could help work on placing your items on top deal pages and top help with support, help with whatever the cases might be. From there, like you could get your item into 1P.com owned. So even if you're not in stores, Walmart buys items from people, right? Who then they promote on .com, they ship it, and that those do a lot of volume. From there, it's like in-store. So usually you have to go through a little bit of a process. Sometimes you could jump some of those steps.
Can a small seller set up a 1P relationship with Walmart?
Yeah, you can. Now, we have to understand is that there's a Walmart buyer who's being responsible for that product. So if they want to engage with you, they're buying that product from you, they're taking some level of ownership and responsibility over that product. So they're only going to buy items from vendors who have either it's a big trend. So Walmart's very into trends. If you're quick and you're on a trend, like that's a reason why they'll work with a new vendor. Number two, oftentimes is, you know, they have a gap in their category. Their current vendor is just, whether it's like their pricing's not good or, you know, they just have a gap because they had it for a while in their category, in a certain category, like they'll consider you there. And then number three is if you perform really, really well on another channel, it's a reason for them to bring you in. So like if you have, you know, Amazon top seller items oftentimes get into stores. Like my business partner had the number one product on Amazon in beauty, and he went into Walmart meeting and said, it's the number one product in beauty. It was growing the fastest at the time on the channel, you know, and they took him into all stores within a year. So like there's in those instances as well. So there's different reasons why they'll take a brand. And you have to do a very good job of telling the story of why they should take you. What we've done in our case was like, we understood the products that we had weren't the best fit for on shelf. So we prototype a version of our product that we thought would be better tailored to the Walmart customer. You know, there's around 150,000 items, if I'm not mistaken, on Walmart shelves compared to like the 50 million online. So obviously there's, you know, the top items being chosen for in-store, but it's a very realistic thing. Walmart likes working with small businesses. They like working with newer brands. They like working with up-and-coming brands. They're great partners. So it's definitely a good possibility. It's just your product has to be the right fit and you have to address the relationship in the right way. You have to really tailor your product, your pitch, your conversations with them to really...
I see. If I hear someone making it in-store, actually in-store, like, is that next level? Or am I talking to like the next seller millionaire?
So in-store volume, if you're having nationwide distribution, is very rarely under millions of dollars a year. Like if you have nationwide distribution, it's almost, especially, it depends what categories, but it's definitely in the millions a year in distribution. Now, how many millions you get into there depends a lot on how many stores you're in, how many products you have in, how your distribution goes with that. Now, there's also a lot of, it depends what categories you are. Some categories require a lot of cost, right? So if you're an OTC, you know, supplements, vitamins, beauty, you're going to have to require a lot of marketing dollars to make yourself successful there, right? Because people aren't buying from new brands without strong marketing dollars. So like for a brand like ours, you're spending a lot of your money marketing. If you're in a brand with more commodity, or like, for example, you just have a really good offer for a chair and Walmart decides to take it in, it's like a unique product and it's very clear with that, you don't need a lot of marketing to support those type of items, the price point's right, like you could be doing extreme volumes with high profit.
And yeah, just as you're talking, like I'm seeing, like, you know, you can't treat some categories the same way. I know how I would act if I'm going across like a supplements aisle, like name brands are going to jump out. I'm going to like care about the packaging. I'm going to do like these things. Like, you know, there's like a trust level. Whereas like the moment I'm in the chair aisle, I don't care about your name. Don't care. You know, tell me the features. I bought a baby seat in Target last week and I was looking for, like, I wanted light. I needed to travel with this one. And that was it. I didn't care about anything else. I know my wife really cared about safety, but there's like different call outs that you're trying to pay attention to. So that's interesting that you would supplement in-store with some sort of marketing push. How would you do that?
So Walmart Connect, which is Walmart's advertising company, so all advertising on walmart.com is run through Walmart Connect. They have in-store initiatives as well. So like you could work through them for in-store initiatives. There's sampling programs. There's, you know, geo-targeted ads. So like you could take, you know, the list of all the stores you're in, take the zip codes, and then work on ads targeting those areas. It gets a little bit complicated to do it efficiently. A lot of times you just need to get enough turn initially. So you're going to want to do like rebating programs similar to how people used to do it on Amazon, but at retailers, like, it's like a compliant thing to do. And it's, you know, done across the kind of the board to help. It's more of like a sampling approach because you get people to go into the store, purchase the item. Now they're trying that item. If they like it, they'll repurchase. So, and you're able to show turn. That's important. With Walmart Connect is like a super powerful program. You know, it's, you could run so much advertising there. So there's a lot of data you get through that, that you could run like very targeted advertising, whether it's on-site or off-site. There's a lot of different things you could do with that.
All right. Where do you see Walmart going? Like, it's getting competitive. You have TikTok Shop.
I believe Walmart has a good chance to be the largest online marketplace in a certain amount of time. I think, though, even if it doesn't, I think it would likely will be the only like real contender to Amazon. So like right now, I think Walmart.com sales are like $86 billion a year compared to somewhere along those lines compared to Amazon's like 500 and something billion. Walmart's still the larger retailer. Walmart's like 600 and something billion in annual sales. So it's very close. I do believe though, I think they had like 13% growth last year, something along those lines. I do think that it's the only retailer with like the capability, the willingness to put the investment and the relationships to make like a significant, you know, stride in the competition. I think what you'll see is Walmart will be the clear leader in some categories and some categories, more categories. Amazon's going to be the leader, but I think you're going to start seeing that like there is going to, within 5 years, like Walmart's going to lead in certain categories and they're going to be pulling the right levels with their relationships. Well, you have to understand, like I've seen this across the board. So we manage, our core of our business is like Amazon brands that we help them launch on Walmart, but we also manage some of the largest Walmart vendors, right? And for them, like one of the big things we were seeing is that like they're trying to adapt to this new version of what Walmart's becoming. And like their buyers are putting a lot of pressure on them, like launch on marketplace, spend on Walmart advertising. And, you know, even though it's a small portion of their business, because of how big the in-store business is for them, Walmart's able to put so much pressure on these vendors, like marketing a lot, pushing their assortment on marketplace. So you're seeing a lot of fast growth in that way. And they're starting to put the pressure a lot more now. So yeah, long story short, I think it will, in some categories, I really think it'll be a winner or very close to Amazon. Other categories, I think, you know, it's just not gonna, they're not gonna lead in, but I think it's gonna be very category specific.
Interesting. I always like to someone that's like in the trenches, but like you kind of see how the big brands are thinking about Walmart, and it definitely makes sense to the right person out there. You said that like there was a lot of nuances to Walmart's to like get things to play the way that they want. Is there any like call outs on like what a Walmart optimized listing is or what some of the tactics that are out there are?
For sure. Yeah. So we actually have this brand that we just launched, was doing like, it was like 3,000 a month on average on Walmart. We launched them within like 60 days, doing 200,000 a month. And it was like, I think it's just a good example because it's like core tactics we did. So number one is like listing optimization. Walmart basic things is Walmart wants shorter titles, right? Around 75 characters. It's a little bit category specific, but approximately 75 characters. They want their descriptions, key features, shorter, done in a little bit different way. But a big part of it is the back end of listings. Walmart puts a gamified model where they have something called listing quality score, and they rank the quality of your listing, and that impacts a lot on how your listing ranks, but also how effective your advertising is. So they want you to fill out a lot of these back end fields because it helps them structure their catalog much better. So they sort of say gamified it. So though, long story short, like those things have a really big impact on how a listing structured, how it ranks, but also how your advertising performs.
Okay. Now, is there a must-have Walmart tool? What do you use to like, do you look at Amazon tools to understand Walmart? Or is there someone out there that like, oh, this helps?
Great question. There isn't really, in my opinion, tools really catered for the Walmart seller for a lot of different aspects. There's different things you could pull from different tools, right? So for example, there's tools you could use for keyword tracking for Walmart, but then there's different tools like using Amazon Insights and, you know, some of the tools like Helium 10, which has some Walmart functionalities, using that for what Walmart could work And you could pull some information from there. A lot of that data isn't exactly accurate. So you have to be careful with what data you're using, because obviously all these are like estimation tools, because Walmart doesn't release the type of data that Amazon does, right? They don't have BSR. They don't have that type of stuff. So it becomes a little more difficult. So you can use Helium-10 for some information. You could use internally, Walmart has some tools that they help sellers. So you could use those to help get insight. That's the main ways. Like, we have a tool internally for profit analytics. So there's, you know, we have a different tool for enhanced content, for hosting content on Walmart. It's not like Amazon where you could do it through Amazon. You have to use a partner to do it. You have to pick and choose a little bit, but there isn't like a full suite that really has everything.
Yeah. I mean, some people might say that about Amazon too. There's not like a full suite that just like solves all your problems. Okay. Final question. WFS, we're all used to FBA. We love how it scales. I've heard complaints about WFS at different points, but like, you know, it's been around for a few years. So how is it now for the average new incomer?
So I think the WFS program has scaled significantly. Certain categories is more challenging than others, again, but in the most part, we've seen it's gone extremely good in regards to cost, in regards to increasing conversion rates. One important thing is Walmart's rank is based on conversion rates, not based on sales volumes, for the most part. So conversion rate make massive difference, especially for new listings. So we see improvements from that side front of things. And just program wise, they're just either adding, you know, obviously it doesn't have some of the things that Amazon has, but it's expanding like really quickly. So they just added inventory transfer services where you can send to one location and they'll send to other locations. They added multi-box. So if you have items, you know, that was a few months ago, multi-boxes you could now do. They added big and bulky. They have like prep services. So they've been beefing up really quickly. Again, everybody knows that Walmart has an insane logistical network. So it's not like they're new to this. We actually have the only Walmart reimbursement solution. So we work a lot on the WFS side. And I was one of the first beta sellers in the original WFS program, the first 50 sellers to test it. And obviously, like, I think it used to have a lot more challenges. It's gotten a lot better and they have really good support. I think it's something you see really different. Like, anybody could pick up the phone and call WFS and you get American support. So, you know, if you're a bigger account, you get a dedicated WFS account manager. So there's definitely a lot of resources to help there and programs growing fast. So I love it. I know there's certain cases where it's challenging. If you have really big items, sometimes the fees make it hard. You know, sometimes check-in times can take time in peak seasons, but, you know, they're pretty generous also on fees and stuff. They waive things a lot. So like they waive peak storage fees. So like they're there to make the program grow a lot. So we've seen that to be really effective.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I like there's being a seller, being a brand, in-store vendor. I feel like we hit a few different points. I'm not expecting to change the name of my podcast anytime soon. We are going to focus on Amazon, but, and I really, the truth is I wanted to ignore Walmart. I like going deep on something and I feel like it's easy to get yourself spread thin about every idea that comes, but like I can't ignore some of the noise that Walmart is making. And so very interesting.
Yeah, that's why I tell sellers always, it's like, you know, especially if you have like more niche spaces, like develop your brand, develop your supply chain, your logistics, like develop your team. Like on Amazon is like the most powerful place to do that. Once you have that, then Walmart's a great place to expand your business to, especially in certain categories. But, you know, like I think like the focus thing is so important. It's like, yeah, like I don't think Walmart's a good channel to look at when it's like you're struggling figuring out some stuff on Amazon. Now you're spreading yourself more thin with Walmart. You're not going to have the inventory to allocate to it, even if you have success with it. So it's like, that's still very important. It's like, you know, it's a channel once you have a strong brand or strong logistics, strong supply chain, whatever the case might be.
Cool. Okay. Well, hey, Michael, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing some of your experience and some of your scars and some of the things that have worked out. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Yeah, so you could just reach out to me on LinkedIn or email me. It's michael@sellcord.com. So sellcord.com. You can email me any questions about Walmart, anything. You can also fill out a form on our site just if you want just some information, sellcord.com. And
all right.
Yeah, we always love chatting Walmart. So
all right.
If you tight. Want to just, yep.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. With that, we'll wrap this week's pod. See you guys on the next one. Take care.
One, two, three.